welcome to, is this our third podcast?
Yeah, third podcast.
It's really our third podcast. We've been a little slow on doing the stuff, but, you know, three is better than zero.
Last time I checked, right?
Three ahead of where we were.
Yes.
It depends. Or if you're getting, like, tickets.
Or if you're getting tickets.
Zero is always better than
if you get zero in golf, you're cheating.
Yeah,
that's true.
Take
it. Well, he's not started yet.
Yeah,
he
hasn't started.
You can't have
So, well, that's a good way to start this thing. But anyways, welcome to the third edition of the Deeper Podcast. Remember, if you want to get in touch with us, what's the email address again?
Deeper Podcast.
Deeperfaith.org.
By episode 12, we're all just going to say it in unison without a hesitation.
We're going to podcast@deeperfaith.org. Just send us an email or some sort of MP3.
Try not to send attachments because our email box has been really full.
We have so many emails.
It's crazy.
Yeah, slow down. We're going to have to start screening these things.
That's probably a good idea.
I don't know.
I actually got an email. I checked. They had an email for Viagra.
Okay.
We got one. There's our first one.
This program is brought to you by. No. I think we all get those emails. And by the way, they're kind of annoying. Maybe we should do a show just on spam. We can have maybe the craziest spam you've gotten. You know, I did get this email the other day about, you know, think about this before you buy gas. Did anybody else get that? About Dubai.
Yeah.
And it's pretty amazing stuff. All the stuff they're building in Dubai with our oil money is absolutely insane. It's pretty crazy. I mean, they're building islands in the middle of the ocean in
like
shape
trees.
Of palm trees.
Yeah.
The indoor ski hill is my favorite, though.
Downhill skiing indoors in the middle of the desert.
That was classic. I'm like, chairlift and all, indoors.
It's just insane. Yeah, and all the hotels and the tallest building in the world by like 40%.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So think about that next time we buy gas. You know, spam's not all that bad. I wasted 10 good minutes with that.
That's interesting.
Yeah, interesting. I'll forward it to you.
Please.
Okay.
I've actually seen the desert, the island thing before. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I guess you can see. I was actually going to get on Google Earth and actually see it on the actual Google Earth.
Have you?
Yep.
They got another one that looks like the world.
Oh, yeah, all the little islands. Yeah.
A globe. It looks like the globe. Yeah, it's off the shore there, but it's all sand.
It's like a map.
Yeah, it looks like a map, like the world. Pretty wild.
Wild indeed.
Yeah.
What a crazy world we live in. Woohoo! Hello, boys and girls.
Too much time, too much money.
So Deeper Faith. No, Deeper
Podcast.
Then we have some other contact information, or they can go to deeperfaith.org, our website. They can go to MySpace, you know, Deeper Faith. MySpace.com/deeperfaith.
Go to the first episode and you'll have all this discussion.
All the discussion is there. Just anyways, send us an email or whatever else. I'm here with Adam and Randy and Delwin. And Delwin is our tech guy that's like enough tech stuff.
Get in front of the camera.
Get some airtime. And we want to apologize to all the ladies out there because we have no female representation.
And we're all married.
Sorry.
I know that we're wondering.
Especially since we started off with Viagra.
And you know, the funny thing is that like one of our first shows was about a bunch of engaged people.
Right.
It's true.
It is true.
And this is what happens after 3 weeks of marriage.
We're all married.
I've been married 3 weeks, anyway. You're probably not going to get this in time, but God Encounters is coming up next week. A couple of weeks.
21st.
The 21st. Yeah. But what we're going to do, we're going to give you, if you get this, like, you know, after God Encounters on May 24th, we're going to do a live God Encounters podcast.
Right.
So you get a chance to to listen to some of that, listen to some of the people that are going to be here for God Encounters, and that'll be cool. We're also, middle of June at Deeper, we are starting a new series on Old Testament prostitutes.
Yes.
Woo!
Red.
Yeah, actually, it's going to be we're going to call it the Red Series, I don't think we can, like, print it at the Forest Lake Church, like, Old Testament prostitutes.
Come here at the Red Light District?
Yeah, we're actually going to have one of the prophets going to be a window with a red light in it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So, good luck finding some praise songs for that. So anyways.
You got it, Sarah.
That's it.
Yeah, there you go.
That's it. That's it. So, yeah, no, it's going to be cool. We're going to be talking about Rahab and
Gomer.
Right. We're going to talk about Delilah. Well, the Bible actually doesn't call her a prostitute, I don't believe. But, you know, she was kind of...
worked that way.
And Jezebel.
And Jezebel, yeah.
Delilah worked it that way.
If it walks like a duck, it talks like a duck, it probably is a duck.
Of course, we're going to have some like actual biblical applications, right, you know, principles from these lessons. It's not going to be like this
all
podcast.
All the prostitutes. It's not like a bunch of guys thought up with the idea. Yeah.
Exactly. There were women in the room when we came up with the idea.
The ladies get in half price that week. Just kidding. Everybody edited out.
Moving on. July 19th. This is plenty of time. July 19th is a Sabbath, and we're going to do Deeper at the Beach. For no reason. Yeah, we're just going to hang out at the beach. We. It's not like we're getting kicked out of our normal building.
Right.
We figured we're just going to go and hang out at the beach that day.
Good.
So that's going to be in between our series of Red, our Red series,
right,
and our next series beyond that, which we're still kind of working out.
Okay.
Might be the old school, kicking it old school. So, by the way, I do have to know this is serious, and it's not because we're talking to prostitutes or anything else, but it's something we want to talk about at some point, okay, and we're going to do something deeper in the near future about porn, okay? Mm. I don't know how many people have come to me over the last few weeks and say, dude, we got to do something because there's a porn epidemic going on.
Hmm.
So that's something that we're going to tackle at some point in the future.
You've got Bernie Anderson coming here at God.
Yeah, and I'm going to talk
a book on.
Yeah,
that.
And that's going to be a good resource. Going to talk to him to see about the possibilities of, you know, bringing him
Matt
in.
Gamble.
Maybe Matt Gamble. I email Matt Gamble to see if he's willing. You know,
there's a XXX.com.
There's that XXX
church. Yeah. We should put the church in there.
Yes. Yeah, church. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like,
this is
a church.
Yes.
Yeah, we need a church service here.
So, anyway, that's kind of.
Something. He said, "This is where I go."
You guys are going to
be two
trouble.
People in this church.
So this is kind of like, you know, what we're looking at over the next few months, and you know, we'll have some podcasts in there. That, you know, I kind of like the idea of kind of integrating a podcast with whatever we're talking about or dealing with at church. So that'll be a good thing. Adam, you've been married now for how long?
It'll be 6 weeks this Sunday.
Tell us.
He knows the answer.
Thumbs up. Oh, well, I mean, what are you?
Leads off with the.
No.
Tell us. Thumbs up. Thumbs down. Sides.
Yeah.
What?
That was bad. I shouldn't have said thumbs up. Tell us about how wonderful married life is.
You know, it's I don't really like when men touch my leg.
Okay. That's a good thing.
I told this to people that. The day that we got married, I realized how much more I love this woman. So I don't know how to explain it to you. We actually married just ended up loving the person more. We always have our disagreements and stuff, but it's really fun to work through them, actually. So those of you who are listening who aren't married, I say do it. It's a great thing, and you'll enjoy it.
All right. Well,
there's an endorsement.
There's an endorsement for marriage. For those of you that are skeptical about marriage.
Or have tried. Speaking of which, did you know that the Florida marriage license form, it says, congratulations on your soon-coming marriage. Hopefully it will last. First line of marriage. Hopefully it will last.
Well, I feel better already.
Why don't
they just staple the divorce form with it? You know?
in case of emergency, open this envelope.
That was actually the appendix on the back.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just turn it over and keep signing.
There you go.
It's over.
Oh, man.
File.
Prenuptial agreement.
The office is next door.
Anyway,
married life is great.
Good. All right, excellent. All right. Well, we got Marlissa and Jared got engaged too.
They did.
So they're getting married in November.
Sava's getting married. Todd's getting married. Lissette and Alex getting married. Melissa. Who else is getting? There's more than that.
Who else do we know about?
We are just a grounds.
There's a whole bunch.
Everybody's getting married.
Yeah. That's pretty crazy.
betrothed.
Excellent. So if you're lonely somewhere in the Midwest...
They all met at Deeper, too.
That's right. There you go,
yeah.
Deeper.
Come to Deeper, find a keeper.
Deeper is more than, it's more than a worship service.
It's more than a worship service.
It's an experience that can last a lifetime.
Very good. Hey, for the last 7 weeks, we have been talking about Joseph, about living with integrity. And I don't know, one of the last podcasts we talked, we mentioned the fact that at this podcast we're going to talk about integrity. We're going to talk about lies, basically, and the lies that a lot of us kind of tell, and we don't even think about it.
Yeah, truth we stretch.
The truth we stretch.
Yeah. I'm a liar.
You're a liar. You know, I think we've done it, you know, and by either, you know, calling in sick or not being completely honest and all those things. And I guess it got me thinking about some examples in the Bible where people actually lied and they were, you said, blessed by it?
Right. Or at least it was to their advantage or something.
Well, let's look at some of these. Exodus, the very first chapter, where the king of Egypt is basically talking, it basically tells all the midwives to, where is Exodus again?
Yeah, it's right after Genesis.
Yeah, okay, there you go. Well, the king of Egypt basically tells the midwives, it's verse 15 in chapter 1 of Exodus. It says, "Then the king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Shifra, and the other was, remember? This is what he said to them, because when you serve as midwife to the Hebrew women and see them on their birth stool, if it is a son, if it's a boy, you shall kill him. But if it's a girl, a daughter, you shall let her live." Verse 17 says, "But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but let the male children live. So the king of Egypt called the midwives and said to them, 'Why have you done this and let the male children live?'" Verse 19, "The midwife said to Pharaoh, 'Because the Hebrew women are not like Egyptian women, for they are vigorous and
very fast
before the midwives comes to them.'" So verse 20 says, "So God dealt well with the midwives." And, you know, I don't know, what do you do with that? Because you are lying. They lied, didn't they?
Yeah. I mean, they're helping out. They must. If on the other hand, they would show up and they would actually kill all the male babies and be like, "Don't call a midwife. You know, when you're having a baby, don't call her because she's going to kill the baby anyway."
If it's a boy.
Yeah, if it's a boy, right. So that's not good for their business. But yeah, it's like they, because of who they were doing it for. Doesn't that make it seem that way? I mean, it's because they were doing it on behalf of the Hebrew women. They knew this wasn't the right thing to do.
Well, what's the difference if it's, what's the text? "Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, render unto God, what is God's."
Mm-hmm.
I know that might not be maybe in the same
right
context necessarily, but if really what you're doing is, I mean, you're saving a life, you're intervening for one of God's children, doesn't that supersede over what the other? I guess it doesn't.
Yeah.
I don't know if that rationalizes lying, but in this case, what the alternative is, like you said, either you know, they don't show up because no one's going to call, or
the other thing too is that would it have been right for them to obey Pharaoh and kill these babies?
My question is. Let's say, and I can see both sides of this argument, let's say they went up to Pharaoh and said, "We're not going to kill the babies."
Right.
Just as Daniel said, "We're not bow down to..."
Right.
You know, and had they lost their lives, they would still be celebrating the same vein. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with that. But I guess my point is that they didn't have to lie. I think God would still bless them either way.
Or protect them.
But that's interesting then. If they didn't have to lie, I see where you're going, saying, you know, the fiery furnace. I mean, they didn't bow down,
right.
And obviously God. I mean,
God
was faced
with them. Yeah.
God faced them with them, throwing them into the fire. Obviously, they lived. So there was that same thing. He could have done the same for them if, you know, he would have But was that intervention? Was God, you know, telling them to protect these the babies, or was it just their own will and they decided this on their own? And God still decided to, because they were intervening for His people, that that was a. I mean, where did I don't have the answer. I'm just asking.
Yeah.
Right, and that's where I'm at because I at the end of the day, I'm looking at this, and I'm glad you brought up the example of Daniel in the Hebrews because. You know, that would have been very easy for them to just think like they were tying their shoes at the time the trumpet sounded.
Right.
Okay? They're like, I'm just tying my shoes, brother. I mean, what you talking about? And it would have been okay. It would have been cool.
Right.
You know? Nobody would have known. They didn't have to say anything. You know? But so, I guess at the end of the day, what if these women, like you said, just basically said, ah, no, Pharaoh, actually, that's wrong. We're not going to kill the...
But isn't that the personality, though, difference in each of us? I mean, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were definitely of the mindset that, you know, you're not going to push me around, you're not going to tell me what to do, my faith is such that, kill me, whatever, this is how we're going to roll out with this one.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe the midwives were, you know, maybe they weren't that strong in their faith, and they were just like, hey, I'm not going to die for this, but at the same time, I'm going to try to do the best I can for what's right, so... Maybe there's a God to work with both angles on that.
Yeah, it's hard to really know what their motivation was. It doesn't state that.
Right, it doesn't say.
If it were to say, you know, it could have been that this was their offering to the God that they believe in, that they fear. And they say, my offering to you is I'm going to save the human children.
Right.
Well, to me, it seems like kind of like the situation where you have, you know, the somewhat classic story, I guess, now, if you have, like, the Nazis and hiding Jews.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, or Corrie Ten Boom or whoever it is, you know, the soldiers come to your door, you know, you've got, you know, 10 Jews hiding in the attic, and they say, do you have any Jews here? And you go, yeah, sure, they're all in the attic. Or do you go, no, we don't. And you know what's going on. You know that you're lying, you know, and you may even have to pay some consequence for it when you do find the Jews in your attic or whatever. But you're kind of putting your life on the line there to say no. But on the other hand, are you not trusting God enough because you said, yeah, you're right, there they are. In fact, here's the key to the door, you know, help yourself. You know, I mean, do you think that...
Then why take him in the first place, right?
Well, why are you hiding him to begin with? Because that's subterfuge right there. You know, you're not being honest. Why is it in the living room?
Here's an interesting thought. Does the life of a human does the life of a human supersede the law of God?
Well, that's a good question. I guess I'd look at it another way is... Is every command of the government something that you should obey? That's another way of looking at it, too, right?
I mean, but I think this goes...
Is every government an instrument of God, and I should therefore obey them? You know, I mean, it is, you know, we should obey Caesar, render under Caesar, or Caesar. Okay, so Caesar tells me I need to kill everybody who's in whatever. Okay, I need to obey that.
Well, I think to me there's a difference in that I see two things, that when an authority, an earthly authority, or government of earth, you know, when their laws contradict the laws of God, then I will follow God's laws. Well, that has nothing to do with this lying thing.
Right.
To me, because a lie is a lie.
Right.
Okay?
Right,
you're not lying because it's a government, you know, thing, or because the authority. You're lying. It's a lie. It's not. You're not telling the truth. And that's a law of God.
Okay.
But isn't that rating lies?
What?
Do we rate lies? That we rate sin?
Well, I mean, that's the thing. And
homosexuality is the ultimate sin, but just a white lie is, you know, kind of down here.
Sure.
In sin chain. So the lie to save somebody is better than the lie that, you know...
Well, there is the unforgivable sin. So that's kind of a different tier than everything else. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, but unforgivable sin basically, you know, it's a sin you refuse to ask forgiveness for.
Right.
At the end of the day. So it just... You have no desire, no need, or you don't even realize. So, and there's the difference because, yeah, it all goes into that. It's like, okay, then this lie is okay. Then, you know, where do you draw the line?
Yeah, and I, you know, to me, one of the factors that I see in there, in the situation, like with the midwives, and perhaps even some of the other ones that we're going to look at.
Oh, we're talking about Rahab.
Rahab, right away. You know, is to me, you've got to, at least for myself, I have to at least consider the motive or the rationale of who's asking. You know, am I being asked to kill this child? Why? Well, first of all, I mean, who should I even be doing that? And then why? And if I have to, employ some subterfuge, I guess I'd put it that way, or the same with the soldiers coming to the door, the Nazi soldiers coming to the door. If I have to say, no, we don't have anybody here, and they go away, I guess I have to live with that. But you know what? I also know that I've saved somebody's life, and I don't agree with where the government is going and killing all those people just because they're Jewish or just because they're Hebrew baby boys. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I guess I have to live with that. But it seems to me like that's different than just saying, you know, I'm going to lie.
Right, right. But there's it's still a lie. Regardless how you look at it, it's still a lie.
It's not lipstick on the collar.
I mean, come on.
No, I mean, again, we're back into. I personally have no issue with I'd like to think I'd have done the same thing. Or when you talk about the Jews and the Nazis.
That's a pretty creative answer, actually.
Yeah,
you're just too fast.
Yeah, you think you'd do the same thing, and I wouldn't have. I mean, you look at the story, and I'm like, well, I have no issue with that. I don't think God has an issue with it personally. I don't have anything to back that up with necessarily, but I just don't think it's an issue if you're doing something that, follows with God's law. I mean, all life is precious to God, so I think that you can say that's, but I mean, if you're trying to hide your, evening at a wherever,
right,
that you shouldn't have been, or, in your marriage or whatever else, I mean, I think that's obviously totally different. But does something lying in a situation like the midwives, does that translate into the lipstick on the collar line? I mean, does that start you on the slippery slope to, I'm a habitual liar, and...
I'll lie to get out of anything.
All right. Okay, now I'm calling in sick for work. The next time it's, I didn't have, I was out with the guys, but I didn't have a beer. And, the next time it's, I was out with the guys, I had a beer, but I wasn't at a strip club.
Right,
where does it go?
Yeah, right.
Does that lead to that?
I don't know.
Will it?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think that these Hebrew women went and got drunk the day after.
Right.
I don't know.
Well, that's the one thing we know about them. That's all we know.
That's all we know about them. And at that point, they chose not to follow the authority of the land and yet preserve a life, which is God's law. But at the same time, they broke, in my eyes, God's law because they lied.
Read the text.
They bear false witness. Yeah.
Read the text where it says, you bless them because of...
Okay.
The very end of it.
Yeah. Let me go back over here. It says, verse 20 of Exodus chapter 1 says, so God had dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very strong.
Okay, I think we're automatically... Maybe it's the text before me looking out of context. I wonder if that blessing isn't because the Noahites lied, but because they valued the Hebrew lives above the other. God may not have been advocating that you should all go out and lie, but he was advocating the fact that the Hebrew women, or the midwives, valued the lives of the Hebrew women over the command of Pharaoh.
Right. Verse 21 says, and because the midwives feared God.
Right. Okay, so my point is, we can edit that whole thing out.
No. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families.
Right.
So I guess that this can lead you to the road of situational ethics. In the almost everything is acceptable depending on the situation that you're in.
Right.
I'll take an example of, I don't know how many stories I grew up, heard growing up, back when, the days of the Cold War and Russia and communism, of people smuggling hundreds of Bibles into Russia.
Right.
You're basically breaking the law, you're lying because you're not telling them what you're bringing into the country, and you have your car, that all these secret compartments full of Bibles,
right.
And they're asking you, you're like, well, I don't have anything illegal. Well, knowing that bringing Bibles in are illegal,
I meant there's nothing illegal from where I come from. That's what I thought you were asking.
Well, the Reformed Church grew out of subterfuge like that, too. Spreading the Word of God to people who didn't have it in the past.
Right.
There's lying going on. The whole development of the Christian Church, is into that kind of stuff. So.
Yeah. So at what point, and I guess that's the thing, what would happen if all these people would have been honest? I guess that's the question.
Well, I brought that up. Yeah, that's a good point.
If all these people would have been honest and told the truth at all times, what would happen? Because we're almost saying, if they didn't, God wouldn't have been able to do what he says that he would have done. You know what I'm saying?
What we don't know is that okay. So the midwives tell the truth and they say, or they stand up to Pharaoh. Okay, we're not gonna kill him. We can't do it. Pharaoh says, fine, off with them. I'm gonna get some midwives who will. And better yet, I'll just dispatch a soldier every time I see a pregnant Hebrew.
We'll just kill the mother with the baby.
And, you know, 50-50 chance of getting that right anyway, so we'll just hang around them until they give birth, and we'll kill them ourselves.
Right.
You know, it's...
But they were minimizing the power of God to take care of his people. Because it's almost like we're like, oh, you know, I gotta protect kids because God can't do it.
But yeah. could God have used that route?
Maybe
though?
God was using them.
Right,
exactly.
But would God use them? Would God have used
them? I have a hard time with God saying, you know, with people having to break God's law in order to get to accomplish God's will. Hello.
Okay, it's a bit of a contradiction.
It is a little bit of a contradiction.
But it's going to say Bible. But it seems like here, though, we're not dealing with, and again, maybe this is just my relativism or situational ethics or whatever, but we're not talking about, okay, I'm going to bend the truth or I'm going to tell a white lie or a gray lie or whatever you want to call it so that I don't go to work today.
Right.
You know, or so that I...
Something that doesn't benefit me.
I cheat on my taxes or, you know, whatever it is. You know, I claim more than I really, you know, whatever, you know, whatever. I mean, something that's kind of, you know, that way versus, look, if I tell the truth right now, people are going to die. I mean, that's the only thing I can see right now. Yeah, maybe God can move in that situation. Because, look, the three Hebrews on the planet of Dur there, whatever, the only lives at stake were theirs. It's the only thing they're gambling with is their life. If they don't stand up, if they stay standing up, or if they whatever, if they don't stand up, the only one who's going to die or not die in this situation is them.
Mm-hmm.
They, you know, there's nobody else at stake here. The midwives, they've got other people's lives at stake. Rahab's got other people's lives at stake. The Nazis at the doorway pounding on your door, you've got other people's lives at stake here. You're not just playing with your own life.
Yeah.
Does that make any difference? To me, it does.
Yeah. See, and to me, it doesn't. Now, I'm not saying that I wouldn't in the same situation, because
right.
I am human.
Right.
And if somebody tells me, are you hiding triplets in your house?
Right.
I will probably say no, you know, to save their lives.
Right.
But at the same time, the commandment says, you know, not to lie.
Right.
It doesn't say, you know, don't lie if you're only interested about yourself. If you're protecting somebody else's life, or if you're doing it for other people, and if you're lying for a good reason, then it's okay to lie.
So let's go one step further. If under that situation, I have lied, the midwives, Rahab, whatever, have I moved into some area of presumption and God can't forgive that lie? That situation, you know, whatever?
Absolutely not.
What about the commandment of honor your father and your mother? I mean, there are fathers and mothers in this world that don't deserve honor.
Right.
So,
yeah, there's some people that have had some upbringings that probably be really hard to honor.
So, you know, I mean, while that might be a sin that you don't honor them, but does God honor them? And not that God doesn't love them, but does God honor them? I mean, I'm not saying they're not savable if they were, you know, repentant for their sins and whatever, but I mean, when you meet people that have grown up and have lived through life that, you know, you think never happens, I mean, it's amazing. And then, you know, how do you honor something that's so evil? I mean, that's honoring. I mean, so is there room to, even though it's pretty, you know, black and white, thou shalt not lie, doesn't seem to be any extra gray area there to play in. But at the same time,
right.
You know, we're back to, again, the situational ethics where, you know, when you have that situation, what do you do? I mean, how do you get past that to a point where, and even if you forgive, and you ask for forgiveness for your hatred and for your, you know, your feelings and all the rest, and you ask for forgiveness, and that puts it behind you.
Right.
But that still doesn't mean you're going to go out and say, man, my parents? No, that was something. You know, honoring your parents. I mean, so does that mean, is that where, you know?
Okay. Since we're splitting hairs in the last 15 minutes.
No way.
The actual commandment, the Ten Commandments, says you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor.
Right.
Am I wrong in saying that is more dealing with, you know, saying somebody did something that they didn't actually do, like accusing them of something
that,
you know,
it sounds more that way.
It sounds more along those lines, and so
telling a white lie to save someone else's life, I don't necessarily think it's breaking the commandment of you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor.
Okay,
so the Nazis, my neighbors, and my very false witness against them.
They weren't an invited neighbor.
I'm trying to kill the conversation.
You're just trying to kill the commandment. Because, I mean, if you do that, then basically, as long as you're not saying anything bad about anybody else, you can say anything else you want, right?
No, I see where Adam's coming, and I would say that if you're doing, I think it's more of a community thing, that, you know, I don't know where else to go with that. That just stopped short.
Where he said this is that...
That just stopped short. And I was like...
The problem is that the sin is against the community. Because you're bearing false witness against your neighbor. The neighbor is the context of your community. Yeah, I mean, isn't the first four commandments dealing basically with sanctifying relationship with God,
right,
and the second six are sanctifying relationship with other people?
Right.
You know, I mean, okay, so she, what is going to, I don't know where I'm going with this. I can't believe we're taping this action because I stuttered through my point.
Well, it sounds good in your head until you start to sound out. Exactly right.
It sounds really good.
We'll de-stutter it later.
Can I just put my comments in via email?
Sure, you just phone them in.
Yeah. You know, by saying a white lie and all this stuff, she's actually establishing a strong relationship with the Hebrews. And
we did say in our first podcast that many times we weren't going to have answers to stuff we discussed, and this might be one of those things. Where, you know, because I don't think we're the first people to discuss this.
But
I have certainly not had this discussion, you know, before with that group of other people. I know I've had a discussion in my head.
Right.
You know, it's a lot funner with other people.
Even though in my head I always win.
I'm always right when
so
I ask
the
myself.
Last word.
I always win. I usually win. Sometimes I lose, but yeah, I usually win.
Yeah. So you know, you have to say, okay, you know, if we go down this road, and I guess that's where I have the problem, basically you're leaving up to everybody to decide what a lie is or not. In a way.
Well, a lie is defined as a lie. I mean, I don't think there's a definition of what a lie is. It's not the truth. And no matter what shade of not the truth it is, it's still not the truth.
Right.
But it's what is... My only what I can't figure out is, or maybe put a clothes on or a wrap on, is where does it... What leads to what? If I tell a white lie in good faith to help somebody out, save a person's life, or even just make somebody feel good. You know, I mean, someone that I care about that is just like, you know, just
the old honey. Do you like this dress?
I was thinking, does this make me look?
No.
But seriously, you know,
Adam hasn't gotten that one yet.
He's new.
So, you know, those seem so harmless in nature, and you know, if, as a person, if you're walking with God and you don't feel like you have, or maybe you just don't realize you have this habitual problem of white lies, little lies, half-truths, or just omitting facts that would complete the whole picture, is still, in my estimation, is still a lie.
Well, one thing we never got, and we mentioned this earlier too, and we don't know the story with the midwives, we do perhaps know a little bit more with Rahab, and that is what their motivation is. And does motive play a factor? I mean, again, I come back to, with the midwives, with Rahab, so forth, what's at stake, and who stands to lose here in this situation? Am I messing with my own life, like the three Hebrews, or am I talking about, okay, these people have been put in my care or my trust or whatever it is. I feel responsibility, or I feel a sense of responsibility, and if I have to make someone look the other way, you know, so that I can, you know, value that responsibility, you know, that's my motivation. My motivation isn't here to get ahead. I don't see how Rahab necessarily got ahead in the deal with the midwives. Now, we're told that they did see some sort of benefit out of it.
Right.
They were recognized. We see their names in the Bible. That's
now, Rahab got to live, and
Rahab,
she was part of the
ancestry
of Christ.
But you're right, though. How cool would the story have been, what God could have done, had the roles been reversed, if that was his intent? I don't know.
Yeah, you don't know.
Right.
You know, if the midwives would have said, you know, Pharaoh, that's not the right thing, you know.
If Pharaoh would have said, you're right,
who knows? maybe Pharaoh, who knows? I mean, you know, what if Rahab would have stood up when these people came to her door and said, you know what, they're just sitting right here, but have you not heard what happened?
Mm-hmm.
that God parted the Red Sea? She talks about it.
Are you scared of that?
You know, because aren't you? Shouldn't you fear that God? Yeah. And what if these guards were like, dude, you're right. You know, maybe we should do something about this.
So then
you know,
they're
going
go,
so
to
maybe,
go lie
maybe,
about
maybe,
it, right?
Maybe, no, maybe they go. Maybe that whole town gets
but
converted.
But they're going to have to go and lie about it, too, because they're going to go back to the king and say, never found anybody, don't know.
But maybe not. Maybe everybody's honest. And maybe they don't have to destroy the city.
They wouldn't have had that whole Jericho 7 laps thing.
And we would have missed a chapter in the Bible with a really cool story.
Yeah. A whole bunch of Christian songs.
And
songs,
exactly.
Yeah.
You know,
but then that's just not reality. That's not sin.
I can say one conclusive thing. Yeah. I'm glad that we don't have to judge people.
Yeah.
I am glad that God is in control of all the judgment.
Well, those stories are there for a reason.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that they make us think about is, yeah, we don't have to be the judge. At the same time, what would we do in that situation? Would
yeah,
we do differently?
I don't know, and I think that it's part of the benefit of raising up these conversations, because I think at some point, maybe all of us are going to be in a situation where we're going to have to make a decision as to, you know, what we say in order to either protect us or protect somebody that we care about. And you know, I guess that if you're listening to this podcast or watching the podcast, everybody's kind of going to be on either side of this line, and then, well, you always have to be honest no matter what. You know, the midwife should have told the truth. Rahab should have told the truth, you know, and then let God be God. And others might be saying, well, you know, I think that, you know, if you're going to do it for somebody else, you know, the laws of God are going to supersede whatever my personal or whatever the laws of the land. And I think that, obviously, we don't have an answer.
Right.
And you know, we can't say this is what you need to do or this is what you need to do. I think that honestly is always the best, you know, best policy. But regardless of what happens, you know, I know that I kind of tend to think that how cool would it have been if everybody was completely honest and what would God have done? You know, we would have some other stories, even though we would have been missing some.
Yeah, but you know, at the same time, too, I agree with that. At the same time, too, we got to consider where Rahab was at in her life. I mean, she was apparently fairly new to even being a God-fearing person, and from there, as we can tell, the only one in the city. She's the only one who survives. And we have these midwives who you have to admit, it was pretty clever, at least. They
right.
came up with it, and Pharaoh bought it. He's like, oh, okay, they're all fast. Okay, yeah. I just never thought of that.
Well, whatever you think you're supposed to do to the best of your ability, so I mean, they came up with a good one. They decided that they were going to lie, they at least believed they did something that was believable.
Right, yeah.
So...
Well, as we wrap this up, I don't know why God chose to bless them.
Right.
I mean, even though I understand
right.
that something good came out of it,
right.
And I don't understand, obviously. I'm glad that we don't judge people, that I am not God, that's up to Him.
Right.
And I just ask that, you know, I guess for all of us to really, you know, make an effort in our lives to
sure.
live with integrity
sure.
and honesty.
Sure.
And, you know, there might become a time when we'll be facing a dilemma that will be very challenging ethically for all of us.
Well,
and,
I think we will. If we haven't already, you will probably at least once or twice in your life. It'll be that type of situation.
All right.
Very much so.
Any last closing thoughts, Rachel?
No.
No?
No.
Never.
I pretty well said it.
All right.
I actually solved the Rubik's Cube today.
I do
every time. I solved it.
But
you take the stickers off? Like,
no.
I take the stickers off.
Actually, and I did not cheat or look on the web. I actually solved the Rubik's Cube too.
Wow.
Excellent.
Well, you're a math guy, so that's good.
All right.
Yeah.
Anyways, from Deeper Land, this is Randy and Delwin, Adam and Danny. Good night, good evening, good morning, depending what time of the day
you're
listening to. All right.
All right.
We're
out of here.
All right, peeps. How long was that?
50 minutes.
No,
it started, but it's probably 10, 15 minutes shorter than that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.